لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك يا ربي لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي ربنا زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين ربي يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير وبك نستعين يا فتاح آمين ثم آمين يا رب العالمين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My dear Quran buddies, how is everyone? On behalf of Nurul Quran Institute, I would like to welcome you all in this blessed session of learning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book. Now, my question to you all, that today is, we are considering this a blessed session or not? Are we serious about learning this beautiful and mesmerizing kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's the question I and you have to ask from ourselves. Because intention means everything, right? We are learning from all for past 4 days, especially, that how important the intention is. So alhamdulillah, before we start, we have to check our intention. So this time, every day gives us the opportunity to renew our intention, make goals for ourselves based upon learning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commandments, right? See, we completed just 3 yesterday. And we encountered so many commandments in the process. Now you tell me that is it enough for us to just recite it? Or to learn this in depth, inshallah wa ta'ala, afterwards. So we know exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commandments are. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam interpreted it in his sunnah. So very important to learn our book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in detail, inshallah wa ta'ala. Do anybody remember what was the theme of Juz 3 yesterday? Hikmah, alhamdulillah. The wisdom, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. So we have to desire and make intention to act upon the commandments we learned, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us hikmah, the wisdom to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kalam and to act upon them and not follow the footsteps of shaitan. Because we know, of course, he is our open enemy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us numerous times in Quran that he is our open enemy, and we have to avoid him at any cost. But we are humans, we forget, and Quran is a reminder, it's a dhikra, so it's a nasihat that we have to keep on reminding ourselves that he is the worst enemy we can ever have. It is making us like dunya and making us jeopardize our akhirah. And we will not, inshallah, ta'ala, do it. We completed Surah Al-Baqarah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, the biggest surah of Quran. And it is the longest surah with most commandments. And in the beginning of Juz 3, we learned beautiful names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Ayatul Kursi. Right? And does anyone remember the virtues of Ayatul Kursi? How important it is? Anyone? Yes? Inshallah wa ta'ala, you can revise it later too. And then, yes, I've read after every fard salah and Allah subhanahu the Jannah is obligatory. Yeah, and before going to sleep. And what happens? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appoints a guard for us, an angel guard for our protection. Yes, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So very important. And then we learned how Ibrahim alayhi salam was given Haqqul Yaqeen. Right? So that we learned, and we were given such a beautiful example that if we spend our wealth, whether in the form of money, skill, energy, time, simply anything in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's path with ikhlas, then how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies that reward, multiplies that for us in the form of reward, inshallah wa ta'ala. So we learn that we have to spend only and only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's raza. Then the topic of riba came. How important for us to avoid riba. And we were told that it is a major sin, and whoever is involved in it should be ready for a war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then we were encouraged for forgiveness. And we completed Surah Al-Baqarah with beautiful du'as and ayahs seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's maghfirah with great virtues. Alhamdulillah. How many of you have memorized this last two ayahs of Surah Al-Baqarah? Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. You know what? When I memorized, I actually didn't have the intention of memorizing it. I was just reciting it every day. And like after 2-3 weeks, I realized that I have already memorized them. Yes, inshallah wa ta'ala. So the reason for me sharing this with you is that if you recite every day by looking at it, and inshallah wa ta'ala, in no time you will realize that you already have memorized all the du'as, inshallah wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, we started with the longest surah next, in Surah Al-Imran in third juz. We learned how important strong knowledge is for what? For strong iman. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. So in order for us to strive for strong iman and listening, yes, of course, alhamdulillah, yeah, that is the next part too. First, reading it, so your eyes are getting used to of the words and the punctuations, and then when you are reciting loud, your tongue is used to of those words, so you don't get stuck on the words, and you know exactly how to pronounce them, and then listening, yes, alhamdulillah. All right, and that the iman is the most important asset. It's the most important asset in our lives, because if we don't have any iman, our good deeds are not accepted. We don't have any hissa in akhirah. We don't have any share in our akhirah. We are doomed, basically. So how important iman is. And in order for us to establish strong iman, how knowledge come into practice. So that's why, alhamdulillah, we have started taking that knowledge. Although it's a very, very minimum of knowledge, and we are just scratching the surface. But inshallah wa ta'ala, we are at least getting the glimpse of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to submit ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's raza and will, inshallah wa ta'ala. And later we will, inshallah wa ta'ala, make sure that we study in depth. And then we learn that Islam is the religion in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sight, is the only religion, and we have to submit ourselves with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his commandments. And so many du'as came in this juz. Anyone knew those du'as, or some of them, or all of them? Alhamdulillah, my assumption, I'm assuming that most of my sisters know those du'as already. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Yes, but those were really simple du'as, and we usually do those du'as in namaz and stuff. Yes, alhamdulillah, if you know some, that's great, alhamdulillah, and we can strive to learn more. That's not a big deal, inshallah wa ta'ala. And we also learned that worrying for our akhirah was the most overwhelming feeling, at least I got. So we have to strive to make our akhirah better. And in the process, we are making our dunya better too, inshallah wa ta'ala. And then we remember the dua, رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. And striving for that goal, inshallah wa ta'ala, that will be our continuous struggle, inshallah wa ta'ala. Yes, alhamdulillah. And then let's hold each other's hands on this journey and strive together for achieving our ultimate goal of seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure and for Jannah, inshallah wa ta'ala. Let's help each other and let's make this learning a very, very, we should be very passionate about this journey and the learning of Quran of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah wa ta'ala. And for that, we will, inshallah wa ta'ala, go to Atlanta, Georgia, where Sister Faiza will start with Juz 4th, inshallah wa ta'ala. And I would like everyone to please take notes. So then you have one thing is, your hands, your eyes, your ears, they will be witness, inshallah wa ta'ala, at the day of judgment for you all. And you know what? If you have not written all the notes, it's quite possible, because we are just going on such a fast pace. That's okay. That's okay. Whatever you can grasp, alhamdulillah, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rida. That's what we meant to write or whatever. So, you can go through the notes, and then when you go through the Quran, and maybe if you miss anything by just looking at the ayah, by looking at the translation, you can fill in those blanks, inshallah wa ta'ala. So be content, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to learn or write or hear, inshallah wa ta'ala, but strive your best. Make your best effort to do that, inshallah wa ta'ala, and you will be rewarded, inshallah wa ta'ala. Let's go to Atlanta, Georgia, inshallah wa ta'ala, and we will start our Juz 4th, inshallah ta'ala, without wasting any time. Jazakumullah khairan kathira wa rasmi jaza. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khairan kathira for the recap. And alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Welcome to another day of a beautiful gem that we're going to learn today. Today, the Juz 4th is an amazing, amazing Juz. I wish we have all day to share this juz. Even that is not enough. People who have already do the tafsir class, they can vouch for that even if we spend the whole month doing just one juz, it's not enough. Let's make dua today to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible. Because, you know, today we were going to learn about Ghazwat Uhud, the Battle of Uhud. And there are so many lessons that we can implement in today's life. But inshallah, we will do that once we get there. Before I start today's lesson, let's listen to the recitation of the first few ayahs of Juz 4. And then we'll begin with the day with the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. While you're listening to the recitation, I want you to pay attention. Don't just think it's a time for you to break and do something, because the word of Allah is the ultimate goal. Whatever we're doing in this journey is trying to understand those words of Allah so they can really touch our heart, inshallah. So let's listen.
تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون وما تنفقوا من شيء فإن الله به عليم كل الطعام كان حلا لبني إسرائيل إلا ما حرم إسرائيل على نفسه من قبل أن تنزل التوراة قل فأتوا بالتوراة فاتلوها إن كنتم صادقين فمن افترى على الله الكذب من بعد ذلك فأولئك هم الظالمون قل صدق الله فاتبعوا ملة إبراهيم حنيفا وما كان من المشركين إن أول بيت وضع للناس للذي ببكة مباركا وهدى للعالمين فيه آيات بينات مقام إبراهيم ومن دخله كان آمنا ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا ومن كفر فإن الله غني عن العالمين قل يا
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين أعوذ بالله Let's begin with just four. Before I get into today's just, yesterday we learned, amongst many other things, we learned quite a in detail about the benefits of giving. And that was a very motivational ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was sharing with us that we are supposed to be a giving personality. With those ayahs, the personality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to have is a personality which brings others first before them. Today I'm going to share a few hadith with you that what the benefit of the giving is. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, number one thing, it protects you from calamity, any kind of calamity. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, give charity without delay. Notice here, without delay, for it stands in a way of calamity. Meaning, if you give charity, if you spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever hardship was about to come to your way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala diverts it. It stops it. Another benefit is when a charity is given, it will become a shade on the day of judgment. That day, it will be filled with horror and the people who give charity, they will be protected. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the believer's shade on the day of resurrection will be his charity. So every time you write something, think of that dollar that you're writing, think of the check that you're giving, or think of those credit card that you're charging. Think of them as a cloud. They are in your hand right now, the cloud. And this same cloud will cover you on a day of judgment. And the next benefit is it protects you from the hellfire. Is there anything that we can do to protect ourselves from hellfire? Is give charity. Spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, protect yourself from hellfire even by giving a piece of date as charity. What we learn from this is that it is not necessary that you have a large amount to give. Whatever you have, you may give. Even if you don't have, you still give. And of course, next benefit is charity elevates your status. What do we learn that? We learn here that when you give in other people and you help out other people, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises your status in front of people as well as in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How amazing. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, charity does not in any way decrease the wealth and the servant who forgives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala adds to his respect. And the one who shows humility, Allah elevates him in the estimation of the people. Can you imagine? Trying to internalize this hadith afterwards, and this will motivate us to give. You know why? Because when it comes to giving, shaitan makes it hard. And of course, before I go further, I wanted to share this story with you. This person, who's a very well-known, reputable person of our time, he came to one of his person, his friend, and he asked him, I am having a hard time. I'm not having enough provision for myself, and I cannot pay my employees. And what should I do in this condition? So his friend, which was a genuine, pious person, had a religious knowledge. He asked him, how many employees do you have on a personal level? He said, two. He said, okay, if you truly want to get the advice, hire two more employees for your personal work. He said, friend, I am asking you that I am not able to pay even those two employees, and you are telling me to hire two more? He said, that's how Allah's system works. And he said, you know what? I said, let me just give it a try anyway. So he go ahead and he hired two more employees. And he said, by Allah, from that day until now, I never had any provision that was not enough for me to survive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me so much. So I asked him, how did it work? He said, because of the provision of those people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you. In other words, I want you to consider this concept of the other paycheck. When we are having a hardship, hard time, when we have not enough money to meet the ends meet, that's when people restrict their income. And you know what? It's the opposite. That's when we need to give more. Because now you're telling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever I have, I am giving, so you can give me. And with that, inshallah, let's go to the theme of the juice today. In the next slide, the today's theme ayah is وَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ. In the next slide, if you see the ayah here, وَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ, and hold firmly to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what does that mean? Means that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, we need to hold it so tight that we don't get distracted. Because we all know, today we live in the time that it is not easy to stick to religion. And people have so many things in their life which keeps them so busy that they hardly think about this وَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ. And today's inshallah dua that we're going to go and learn, and this dua you will receive in your email. For those of you who are registered student, you will get this worksheet, and I am hoping that all of you are following this worksheet. You know why? Because once we get the information and we don't follow up, the information doesn't do any good to us. So the dua that we're going to do learn today, inshallah, which will help us to hold on to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a strong hold, that is, Allahumma musarrif al-qulubi, sarrif qulubana ala ta'atik. O Allah, the one who turns the heart, turn my hearts towards your obedience. And when our hearts are turned with the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it will become easier to hold on to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in the next slide, you see some points here that we will be learning today. These are the some main topics. Number one, we learned already about Ummatul Wasat. I am just hoping and praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are aware of your job. And now, you know what? How can we do this job? By following and learning what we learned in this just four. When you give what you love, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you a person, a member of Ummatul Wasat. And hold on to the rope of Allah tightly. Stay united. Be Muslims only. And who is the best nation? That's what we're going to learn today. And who can be your friend? Very important topic today. This part we need to share with our families as well. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened up with the hypocrisy of the people's heart in this surah, in this ayah. And we will learn that martyrs, the ones who give up their life in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are the successful in the eyes of Allah. And very important thing we'll learn today, how to control anger. Anger management is a big issue. People are not able to control their anger, and they basically go under because of this weakness that they have. This can, inshallah, be understood today, inshallah. And then laws and hikmah of marriage we will learn in Surah Al-Nisa, and laws of inheritance. And we will learn how to solve problems of the society of today's time. And then we will learn about the haq mahar, which is a bridal gift, a groom gift. And then who buys this dunya over akhirah, meaning what is his priorities. And then we will learn how to be a Muslim with the heart. And then we will learn, do your best to raise leaders of the ummah. Because at the end of the day, what matters is not raising a child, raising a leadership qualities in every child, inshallah. And then we will learn how to be sincere and how can we run towards Jannah. And then, inshallah, let's get to the ayah number 92, which is the first ayah of today's juz. And this ayah is basically a mind and heart changing ayah. As you know, we have been learning about giving, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you notice, we learned the word spend, not give. Do you know why? Do you know what the difference is between the two? Spending is something more than giving. Giving is something, a limited amount that you give, maybe like $5 to a child, $10 to your friend, $100 for a wedding gift, or so on. But when you spend without counting. You spend without realizing. You spend without thinking. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word spend. Now, we have already learned about spending, right? In this today's ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us something else. And once we achieve this target in our life, trust me, the doors of your heart opens up for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you start thinking and seeing the world very differently. Let's make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly make us understand this ayah the way it's supposed to be understood. Allah says, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا بِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ. Never. I want you to pay attention to this word. Never. Notice here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say la tanalu. It could have said that, right? Because we all know that la means no. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying no. Never will you attain. Attain what? The good reward, al-bir, the righteousness, until what you do is tunfiqu, until you spend. Spend where? In the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, What should you spend? Because so far we have just learned about spending. Here we learn about spend from mimma tuhibboon. I want you to highlight this word in your mushaf, mimma tuhibboon. Spend from what that you love the most. And whatever you spend, indeed Allah is knowing of it. But the lesson from this ayah is that, number one, we will not receive guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will not receive al-bir, the level of righteousness, the level of goodness, the level of closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will not be able to open up our heart unless and until we give what we love. Now, question is, what is it that we love? The very first thing comes in mind is that we love money, wealth, right? Yes, for some people, it can be money that they should spend that. But this here, mimma tuhibbun, gives you a deeper meaning. You know what that means? That means that you should love something that you love. That you love whatever that is, you love that so much so. And that's the thing that you give. Now, for every one of us, this can be very different. For example, someone probably loves their sleep a lot. Someone loves their children. Someone can love their cleaning of the house. Someone loves themselves too much. They're always worrying about comforting themselves, satisfying their own need, helping themselves all the time, thinking about themselves only. Some people love to show up. off. Some people love to think about other things. Some people love to entertain themselves. Some people love any kind of stuff. Some people love clothes so much that they spend too much time on that. Some people love shopping without even needing the stuff. They're always thinking about shopping. Some people love cooking too much. This could be basically anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, go and think and contemplate and make a list of things that you love. And from that, whatever you love the most, that's the thing you need to give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, why is that? You know why? Because think about it. In this dunya, when you love somebody, you're willing to give them anything that is so good for you, that you value yourself. You don't give something that is not so much valuable to yourself. For example, if you're buying a gift for your mother, are you going to just buy something? Or are you going to really think about what your mother likes, right? So you're going to pay attention. You're going to take some time out. You're going to think, you know what? Let me just buy this scarf for her. Then you're going to say, no, you know what? It's not that great. She probably have too many scarves. Let me think of something else. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do for Allah. And this is a proof that you love Allah. And you know what? We're learning about Tawheed in this journey of Quran. And when a person gives in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he loves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fills his heart with the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know what that means? That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives his love to him. So, bottom line is, if you want to gain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you must think about something that you're willing to sacrifice in the way of Allah. Now, how can you do that? By thinking, by making sure that you do give what is best. And if you go to the next slide, we learn about Abu Talha. Abu Talha radiallahu anhu said, when he heard this ayah, he said, I will do so, O Allah's messenger. Then Abu Talha distributed that garden among his relative and cousins. It's a long hadith. This is the end part of the hadith. Abu Talha had many gardens, and he had one of the garden that was right in front of Masjid al-Nabawi. And the location of that garden was very good. Even though it was very good and the best of the garden he had, and he thought, and he contemplated, and he thought, and he thought, and he said, you know what, this, amongst other properties he had, this was the best one. And you know, when it comes to giving, when we give in our life, you know what we give? What we have extra. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this ayah, give what you love the most, right? So he, Abu Talha, said, I want to give this garden in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This garden was so dear to him. Even Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to come once in a while and drink water and eat dates from that garden. So Abu Talha gave that garden to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that I want to give this garden for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know what Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said? Yes, that's a very good thing, but I want you to give this garden to your relatives. You know, it's even harder when you love something. The only thing that comes in our mind is to give it to charity, right? Give it to masjid, give it to some other places. But you know what Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did to him? He said to give it to your relatives, which is the hardest thing to do. People may be willing to give big amount of charities in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but when it comes to giving to relatives, they become very stingy, especially those relatives whom they don't like and they don't have the good relationship. So when you think of this ayah, I want you to think about something that you really love and give it to someone that you find it very hard. This could be your enemy. Enemy means the person you may not like in your life, your distant relative that you just dislike as personality. Give that thing to him. You know what? Once you do that, you will be amazed, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up your heart in such a way that you have never felt before. And this is the whole purpose of journey through this Quran. So we open up our heart for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ultimate goal. See the countenance of the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and receive the mardat illah, meaning the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And basically our focus becomes that our heart should be filled with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar radiallahu anhu said, O Messenger of Allah, I never gained possession of a piece of a property more precious to me than my share in Khaybar. What he got from the Khaybar, therefore, what do you command me to do with that? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, retain the land to yourself and just give the yield from that land. So what we learn from this is that there are many ways that you can give what you love in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, we all have probably, or some of us may be having kids, or maybe they will have it in future, right? So what we can learn is from yesterday when we learned the story of the woman of Imran. What did we learn? She devoted her child before the child arrived in this dunya. So if we really truly love Allah and love His deen, we can devote our children for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By devoting, I don't mean that you give them up from your home and send them to somewhere else. No. What I mean is you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, accept my child in your way. And then from then on, you do tarbiyah of the child in such a way that he becomes devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he becomes a devout servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are so many examples. But I think you got the point. What we can do by giving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, insha'Allah. Then we learn, when we go to the next ayah number 93. Kullu ta'amin kana hillan li bani Israel illa ma harrama Israel ala nafsihi min qabl. All food was lawful to the children of Israel, except what Israel, meaning Yaqub alayhi salam, had made unlawful to himself before the Torah was revealed. So say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so bring the Torah and recite it, and if you should be truthful. What we learn here is that only what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made halal and haram, we should stick to that. We're nobody to say, oh, I make this, I think this is haram, and I think this is halal. These assumptions in deen are not allowed. And whoever invents about Allah untruth after that, then those are truly wrongdoers. Say, Allah has told the truth, so follow the religion of Ibrahim, inclining towards truth, and he was not of the polytheists. And indeed, the first house of worship established for mankind was that at Makkah, and that is Makkah, blessed and a guidance for the worlds. In it are clear signs, such as standing place of Ibrahim, and whoever enters it, that is the haram, that is in the haram, shall be saved. And due to Allah, for the people is a pilgrimage to the house, for whoever is able to find thereto a way. But whoever disbelieves, that is refuses, then indeed Allah is free from need of the worlds. Say, O people of the scripture, why do you disbelieve in the verses of Allah, while Allah is witness over what you do? Say, O people of the scripture, why do you avert from the way of Allah those who believe, seeking to make it seem deviant, while you are witness to the truth, and Allah is not unaware of what you do? What we learn in these ayah is that make sure that we don't make things haram and halal upon ourselves, because it is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Next thing we learn here is that if we do so, that means we're saying, na'uzubillah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is untruthful. And then we learn about Makkah. Makkah is a blessed place and a place for guidance. So if you and I feel that we need to renew our iman, rejuvenate our iman, or we need to have a reconnection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, plan a trip to Makkah. Because people who may be so stray, when they go to Makkah with this mindset, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them guidance. You know why? Because it's a dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam that place is full of barakah, blessing, security. And when people go there, they find the focus of their life. They find the compass of their life. And they find security and peace in their heart. When people, they find that their children are not coming and getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, what they do and they should do. Especially if you have kids around 8 to 10 years old or 12, try to take them to Makkah for Umrah. You know why? Because this young age, when their minds are clean, this is the best time you can attach them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, what else we learn in these ayahs is that, say, O people of the scripture, why do you avert from the way of Allah those who believe seeking to make it seem deviant while you are witness to the truth? And Allah is not unaware of what you do. O you who have believed, if you obey a party of those who were given the scripture, they would turn you back. I want you to highlight this ayah number 100. Why? Because you have to be careful about others. You don't know their intention. So seek Allah's help, because Allah is the one who says the truth. Qul sadaqa Allah, and everybody else can be wrong. So we don't know what goes on in the people's heart. So when you talk to people, they could be your best friend. They could be your closest knit circle, family or something. But you have to be careful. And if they are disbelievers around you, you have to be careful. Why? Because they will turn you back. I want you to highlight this part. Utul kitaba yaruddukum. This word yaruddukum means to turn you back towards the disbelief, right? So they will turn you back after your belief to being unbelievers. Ayah number 101. And how could you disbelieve while to you are being recited the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Take a moment here. Ask yourself. The verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are being recited to me. Do I take them very seriously or do I take them as just fun of it? Because this ayah teaches us, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, in tutiyu fariqan min alladhina utul kitaba yaruddukum ba'da imanikum kafirin. Wa kayfa takfuruna wa antum tutla alaykum ayatullahi wa fikum rasuluhu wa man ya'tasim billah. فَقَدْ هُدِيَ إِلَىٰ صُرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. And how could you disbelieve? This is the question Allah SWT is asking. While to you are being recited the verses of Allah. You know, these same verses of Allah SWT sometimes touches the heart of a person and sometimes it doesn't do anything. Do you know why? Because when the heart is not open up to take these verses, then you go through these ayahs not really feeling anything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking you, we can ask this question. And you know, and among you is a messenger. His messenger was there and the ayahs were being recited, but the heart of the mushrikeen and the disbeliever did not open up. And whoever holds firmly to Allah has indeed been guided to the straight path. What do we learn here? The theme ayah today, that hold on to the straight path. How can we hold on to the straight path? Inshallah, we'll get into that. Ayah number 102, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, ittaqullah. I want you to highlight this. This is how you can hold on to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By be Allah conscious all the time. And how? Fear Allah as He should be feared. I want you to highlight this. Haqqa tuqatihi. Haqqa tuqatihi means what? Meaning, take Allah seriously. Don't just assume that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of the things in my life. Haqqa tuqatihi. And this is where the mistake is. People take Islam, people take the religion as a side thing. Think of a car. You know, car has four wheels and a steering wheel. If every part of the car is there, but the steering wheel is not there, and then you cannot take the car forward, right? So when people use religion in times of need only, somebody died, they open up the Quran. Somebody's in trouble, they open up the Quran. Somebody is in need of peace of heart, they open up a Quran. But when everyday life, when they're living happy, they hardly think about the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is not giving the haqq of Allah's Quran. So what we learn here is that make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring this Quran as a driving force of my life where I make all my decisions according to this book. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ, meaning don't turn away, do not have any doubts. And, of course, die as a Muslim too. Living and dying with Islam. You know, there's a beautiful dua that we learn that my death and my life is for Allah, lillahi. When this concept is clear in the mind, it becomes easy for us to live by the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you know what? It becomes fun. It's not like that it becomes deprived. It's not like the people feel deprived. Now that I am Muslim, I have to do this and that. And this is what the general attitude of people, you and I see. You probably have observed that. You know why? Because people are not giving the due haq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the next ayah we learn, and this is the ayah of the theme of ayah today, and that is وَاقَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ. I want you to highlight this part in your mushaf. وَاقَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. And hold firmly to the rope of Allah altogether and do not become divided. And remember the favor of Allah upon you when you were enemies and He brought your hearts together and you became by His favor brothers, and you were on the edge of the pit of the fire and He saved you from it. Thus does Allah make clear to you His verses that you may be guided. So what do we learn here? How can you hold on to the rope of Allah? In this ayah, we learn the solution to all the problems that we see in our society. Do you know why? Because people, you see, have divided themselves into so many groups. If you think about it, today's Muslim is not satisfied until you tell them that, oh, I am Muslim plus I am Hanafi. I am Muslim plus I am Shafi. I am Muslim plus I am Sunni. I am Muslim plus I am Barelvi. I am Muslim plus I am Fulan. What we learn here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us the solution to stay united. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold on to book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah only, and then stay united. Do not give yourself any name. Do not call yourself any other division. Because when Muslims are divided into different parts and different groups, they hate so much each other that they don't even pray in each other's masjid. Isn't that what we see today? So this ayah gives us a solution that as long as we hold on to the Quran, the direct source of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the direct word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the ummah will only be united. People say, you know what? People don't listen. What do I do? Everybody is following their own maslak. Everybody is following their own school of thought, and they're not willing to give up. And the solution for that is, I want you to imagine, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is up there in the sky and He has thrown down this rope, and this rope is on the earth, and on this rope is the Quran. Now, the rope is one and everybody is trying to get this rope, and then there's a crowd gets gathered together and nobody is able to get the rope and everybody is fighting for that rope. So for that solution, you basically take the rope and you make a big, huge loop out of it. And from that loop, everybody, whoever is in this classroom, holds one part of this rope. So everybody will stay within the Quran. And when people say, I am Muslim plus this and that, you say, no, I am Muslim only. And this is what acting upon this ayah is. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, once you do that, Allah will put love between each other. Today, Muslims within the Muslims hate each other and they denounce each other. They even call names. They even sometimes claim that the people who do not belong to their school of thought, they are kafir. To that extent, do you think the ummah can be becoming a ummah al-wasat this way? No. In order to become Ummat al-Wasat, we must understand this concept of وَاقَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ. Holding on to the rope of Allah, meaning this word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this Quran of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Quran says stay united, period. No matter what my scholars say, I'm going to listen what Quran says. If Quran says something, period. If Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something, a hadith is there with the authentic source, period. I am just going to stick to that. I am not going to get myself divided into many groups, because when people get divided, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the love away from their heart. This is why in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you did not have any love and you were divided, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the love of Allah in your heart. And then we learn ayah number 104. And let there be arising from you a nation inviting you all that is good, enjoining what is right and forbidding what is wrong, and those will be the successful ones. What do we learn in this ayah? There has to be a people, there has to be a group that comes out and invite people, and this is the missing element. Today, people may be doing a lot of good deeds, they may be giving a lot of charities, they may be doing a lot of salah, making a lot of du'as, but do you see that the du'as are being accepted? Do you know why they're not accepted? Because people are not doing, acting about this ayah, ayah number 104, where we learn that you must get out. وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ, meaning a group of people you should come, يَدْعُونَ, they invite إِلَى الْخَيْرِ, towards goodness, and they stop people from doing committing evil, and they speak up when they see something wrong, and when they invite people to do good. And only then, that's where the success lies. Al-Muflihun are the one who does all these things. So make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for you and I to really act upon this ayah. And this is the solution of today's society. And this is the problem that we live in today. And we don't know this ayah. We think this ayah is for ulama only to act upon. No, this ayah is for everybody. Because we learned in ayah number 105, and do not like the one who become divided and deferred after the clear proof had come to them, and those will have great punishment. What do we learn in this ayah? Do not get divided. And now people say, oh, I am divided because I want to have my association with my name. And then if people divide themselves, they will have regrets on the Day of Judgment. And this is what we learn in ayah number 106. On the Day of Judgment, some faces will be yawma. يَوْمَ تَبْيَضُ وُجُوهٌ وَتَسْوَدُ وُجُوهٌ. On the day, some faces will turn white and some faces will turn black. What does that mean? The color of the skin will change? No, this means the people who stayed united and who did وَعَتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ and who did invite people to enjoy the good, and they stop people from committing the evil, their faces will be brightened like a moon, like a shining, like a noor, that like a light coming from their faces. And those who do not do that, their faces will be blackened. Now here we can take a moment and think about ourselves. Which group do I want to belong? In this dunya, people worry about so much about their looks, and they don't worry about the looks of the akhirah. What about the people who will go, they may be very pretty and beautiful and or well-maintained and well-groomed skin, monthly and weekly facial and haircut and all those things. And if the faces of these beautiful faces that we see in this dunya, if they turn black in, what about that? And that's something that we need to go. And this is basically give you the focus of life. What are we supposed to live after? Yes, we can take care of the skin of the face in this dunya, but do we worry about the brightness of the face on the akhirah? That's the question you and I can ask. But as for those whose faces turn white, they will be within the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will abide therein eternally. Have yaqeen that if I live and do all those jobs, so far we have learned, that is giving what I love, وَعَتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ, enjoining to do good, and stopping from committing evil yourself and inviting others to do that, and then you will have the brightest face, insha'Allah, bi'idhnillah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you His rahmah. What do we learn here? When you do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you, you basically qualify yourself for the rahmah, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayah number 107. But as for those who is ayah number 108, these are the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We recite them to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in truth. Question. Can you make sure, can we make sure that we understand this ayah and we think that it is the truth? It is going to happen. The faces will turn darken. Then only, and Allah wants no injustice to the world. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not turn your face black and white just because He feel like it. No, He will make it happen because of what you did in this dunya. You know why? Because ayah number 109, to Allah belongs whatever is in the heavens and earth. What do we learn in this ayah? وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِلَى اللَّهِ تُرْجَعُ الْأُمُورِ. And all the dealings, all the matters will be returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If everything belongs to Allah, including myself, then why shouldn't I worry about brightening my face in the day of judgment? That's the question you and I can write and ask for ourselves. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرٌ أُمَّةٌ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. Beautiful ayah. I want you to highlight this ayah. You are the best nation. Produce an example as an example for mankind. Ask this question. Are we the best nation? If we are. Are we giving any job? If we are. Are we doing the job? If we are. Then alhamdulillah. You enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong and believe in Allah. We can ask all these questions to ourselves. If only the people of the scripture had believed in what it would have been better for them. Ask yourself, do I want to regret on the day of judgment, or I want to act now? But most of them are defiantly disobedient. They will not harm you except for some annoyance. And if they fight you, they will show you their back, meaning they'll retreat back from you. Then they will not be aided, meaning choice is ours. We can choose which group we want to be, inshallah. And then ayah number 112, they have been put under humiliation by Allah wherever they are overtaken, except for the rope, that is the covenant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a rope, that is a treaty from the people, that is Muslims. And they have drawn upon themselves anger from Allah and have been put under destitution. That is because they disbelieve, and that also means not just disbelieving, but rejecting the ayahs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The verses of Allah, and kill the prophets without right, that is because they disobeyed and habitually transgressed. May Allah save us from among those. They are not all the same. Among the people of the scripture is a community standing in obedience. Question. Do I stand in obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Reciting the verses of Allah during prayers of the night and prostrating in prayer. The month of Ramadan is coming. Make this ayah as a goal that, O Allah, make it possible for me to stay up at night and do prayer, the tahajjud salah, qiyamul layl, because this is where the success lies, and this is what will bring the brightness of the faces on a day of judgment. And they believe in Allah and the last day. Question, ask yourself, do I believe in Allah? Of course we do. But do we really believe in the day of judgment? If we do, then our actions should manifest. Our mindset should manifest this. And they enjoin what is right and what is forbidden, and forbid what is wrong, and hasten to do good deeds. I want you to highlight this word, yusari'una fil khayrat. Yusari'una fil khayrat. Meaning, they're not just satisfied by doing some good deeds. Yes, I have invited people to goodness, and yes, I'm stopping people from evil, but I want to take my life easy too, you know. This is my personal life. I want to have some time with my family. I want to have dinner with my family. I want to go do and this and that. Yes, you can do all that, but keep this phrase in your mind, but yusari'una fil khayrat, meaning run towards goodness and give yourself one of the goals. This Ramadan, when you're making dua for yourself, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make me from this nation who does all these things. And this ayah number, yusari'una fil khayrat, is the ayah number 114. O Allah, make me among those. You know, in this just 4 also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to develop a personality who has a mindset to run towards goodness. You know who they are? They are the one who are looking for opportunities to do good. They don't say, oh, let me just rest and somebody else will do it. They are the one who are front runners. They are the forerunners. They're always there every place. Have you ever met those people who are always first one to donate, always first one to show up in classes, always first one to do anything? The people who take the classes easy, the Quran easy, they join the class 10, 15, 20 minutes late. Think of this classroom. as an airplane. If this classroom were to be an airplane, would you arrive 10, 15 minutes late? You wouldn't, right? Why not? Because you know that you'll miss the boat. You'll miss the plane. So when we take the deen easy, when we take the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala easy, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is not yusari'una fil khayran. So what we learn here is that we need to refocus and re-strategize our life around Quran. And you know, it's, just to give you an example, when we are doing something, do it for Allah. Like for example, when you're cooking, cook for Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you told me to feed the hungry people, and the four hungry people will be coming home today. Two of them are sons, and one of them is daughter, and one of them is husband. They're all hungry. I want to cook for them with passion, because this is what you want me to do. Anything and everything becomes ibadah when you have this mindset of yusari'una fil khayran. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives you and I this mindset. Then, and whatever good they do, never will it be denied them. And Allah is knowing of the righteous. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not waste a single effort. So bottom line here is that intentions matters a lot. You can do goodness with laziness, or you can do goodness with excitement. Which one is that? When people look at your personality, they find lazy, or they get slowed down as you are, or they find energetic around you. We can all check ourselves, what kind of personality do I have? Indeed, those who disbelieve, never will their wealth or children will avail them against Allah at all. And those are the companions of the fire. They will abide therein eternally. Meaning, you can spend all the time in this world to entertain your family. At the end of the day, if you're not doing a good job raising them towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will not avail you. You can have all the money and the luxuries of this world. If you're not spending money in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that, then this will not benefit you. The example of what they spend in this worldly life is like that of a wind. I want you to imagine, picturize, have an imagery in your mind, a wind containing frost which strikes the harvest of the people who have wronged themselves, meaning they have sinned themselves, and they did not do the job that they're supposed to do, and destroys it. And Allah has not wronged them, but they wrong themselves. This is something very scary. Ayah number 118, O you who have believed, do not take as intimate this ayah, ayah number 118. I want you to highlight in your life and in your mushaf. You know why? Because this ayah tells us that what is it that can bring success in our life? And that is, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la tattakhidhu bitana. Bitana is a close heart-to-heart friendship. So who do you make friends with? That's what who you are. They say, we learn in many hadith, when you have friends, you are a mirror of your friend. So if you want to see who you truly are, how much you love Allah, what is your focus of life, think about your friend. Go through the friends list and you will be surprised. And you will not, and you know, if you have like five friends, you are average of those five friends. If you have 10 friends, you are average of those friends, because you take something from each one of you, each one of them. So, very important ayah. O you who have believed, do not take as intimate those other than yourself. Meaning, keep yourself in a good company and make the friends that are also the righteous people, and for they will not spare you any ruin. They wish you would have hardship. Hatred has already appeared from their mouths, and what their breasts conceal is greater. We have certainly made clear to you the signs, if you will use reason. And here you are loving them, but they are not loving you. You know, when you make friends with people who disbelieve or deny the ayahs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you love their dressing style, you love their hairstyle, they have this relaxing done in their hair, they have the new curls, and they just bought the new clothing, which is very revealing, and you love it. But they don't love you. No matter what you do, no matter how much you try to be like them, they don't love you. And while you're believing in the scripture, all of it, and when they meet you, they say, we believe. Meaning, we love you, we're like you, but when they are alone, they bite their fingers at you in rage, say, die in your rage. Indeed, Allah is knowing of what that within the breast. If good touches you, it distresses them. But if harm strikes you, they rejoice at it. And if you are patient and fear Allah, their plot will not harm you at all. Indeed, Allah is encompassing of what they do. Two things we learn in this ayah. Whatever people do and say, you have to be patient and you have to have taqwa. Only then you can withstand the pressures that the society gives you. And remember, when you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, left your family. From ayah number 121 to 129, we learn about the Ghazwa-i Uhud, the Battle of Uhud. There are so many lessons from this battle, and this is amazing battle. And why Allah SWT put this battle on Muslims? Because Muslims, when they came to Medina, and they thought now they're going to be living happily, freely. But you know what? Mushrikeen in Makkah did not leave them alone, and they made it hard for them, and they decided to come and attack them. And before the Battle of Uhud took place, there was already a Battle of Badr. Inshallah, we'll learn about that when the ayahs come. But here, we are learning about Battle of Uhud, and there are extreme amount of lessons. What happens and how should we react, and what happens when a person disobeys the command of the leader, and in this case, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, only one command was disobeyed and the floor was changed. Battle of Uhud was won by Muslims in the beginning, but then the chaos occurred, and the people who disobeyed the command of Allah's Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the scene changed, and then the disbelievers who left the battlefield came back and tried to attack that. Even then, they did not really win the war. The war was basically draw, because they did not enter the Medina city and try to finish them all. If it was possible for them, they could have done that, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make it happen. So this was a huge lesson for Muslims, and that learning about the battles gives you a lot of insight how Islam spread. Islam did not spread about the sword, from the source. And you know what the propaganda is, that Islam was spread through the sword. It did not. Islam only allows the battles to take place in defense, not in offense. In the Battle of Uhud, it was also a defense. But the first lesson we learned here in this ayah is ayah number 120, ayah number 121. We learned here, what is Ghadawta? I want you to highlight this part. وَإِذْ غَدَوْتَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ. When Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left his family in the morning, what do we learn here? Morning hours have a great impact and great effect. The mornings are filled with barakah. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith that the morning hours for my ummah are full of barakah. Today we live in a lifestyle where people stay up late at night, and when it comes to come to morning, they hardly open up their eyes. Even sometimes they do Fajr Salah with a closed eyes so that they can go back to sleep. Unless and until we change our lifestyle and we start getting up early in the morning and do not miss the barakah time, only then Muslims will have power that they can become an ummah-e-wasat. Because morning times are full of blessings. Today, Muslim ummah, especially in Muslim countries, we see Muslims don't even get up until noon time. And this is why the barakah of the Muslim life has taken away. And in this battle of Uhud, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped the Muslims. The help of the Muslims can come. It did came in the Battle of Badr. But today we see no help of Allah is coming. Do you know why? Because Muslims do not follow the lifestyle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us through Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the best of the leaders. He got up early in the morning. Why? To prepare the battlefield. And if you and I have some tasks to do, do it early in the morning and prioritize your tasks and prioritize your life. And you know what? Month of Ramadan is coming, and that's a training month. It teaches us we're forced to eat breakfast before dawn, and people usually go to sleep. Use that time and develop this habit to stay up after Fajr. Yes, you can take a nap in the afternoon, but best thing you can do to yourself this month of Ramadan is make a habit, develop a habit of standing up in a Fajr prayer, and do not go to sleep after that. And then when two parties among you were about to lose courage, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was their ally, and upon Allah the believers should rely. This ayah requires a lot of details. Let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for us to understand in detail. And already had Allah given you victory at the battle of Badr while you were weak, that is few in number, then fear Allah, perhaps you will be grateful. Meaning, Allah's help can come. It did came in the past in the battle of Badr, so do not lose your heart. Remember, when you said to the believers, is it not sufficient for you that your Lord should reinforce you with 3,000 angels sent down? Yes, if you remain patient and conscious of Allah, and they, and that is the enemy, come upon attacking in raid, your Lord will reinforce you with 5,000 angels having marks of distinction. What we learn here is, the stronger the iman, the more sabr you practice, then the bigger the help of Allah comes. Today we see Allah help is not coming. You know why? Because iman is very weak, taqwa is not there, patience is not there. So what we need to do is develop iman, strengthen our iman by doing the tahajjud, by giving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will develop taqwa, and once the taqwa comes, iman will become stronger, and once the iman becomes stronger, sabr will automatically come, and then at the end of the day, you will be ummat al-wasat. And Allah made it not except as a sign of good tidings for you and to reassure your hearts thereby. Notice here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the believers. He reassures the heart of the believers only if we practice taqwa and sabr. And victory is not except from Allah, the exalted, the mighty and wise. In other words, whatever goodness comes in our life, whenever we are successful in anything, we need to realize that it is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are successful in whatever we do. And this is the mindset we need to give our children, that victory in your exams, in your tests, everything comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That He might cut down a fraction of the disbelievers or suppress them so that they turn back disappointed. Not for you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but for Allah is the decision whether He should cut them down or forgive them or punish them, for indeed they are wrongdoers. And to Allah belongs whatever is in the heavens and the earth. I want you to highlight this ayah. To Allah belongs whatever is in the heavens and earth. Because this is about Tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this will develop. Believe in this ayah, and contemplation about this ayah will give you the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He forgives whom He wills and punishes whom evils, and Allah is forgiving and merciful. O you who have believed, do not consume usury, doubled and multiplied, but fear Allah, and you may be successful. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about interest again. You know why? Because the battle of Uhud, the floor changed, because when people got excited and they started collecting the war booty. So money is something that keeps you away from developing taqwa. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding here that interest is something that will not help you, and it will keep you away from developing taqwa, coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, becoming a member of the Ummat al-Wasat the way you're supposed to do, and you will not be able to focus yourself to brighten your faces in the akhirah. Your focus will be to brighten your faces in this dunya only, because riba grows your money in this dunya, but it will blacken your faces in the day of judgment. So it is important that we take out the riba, any kind of riba that we may have in our life, inshallah. Then we learn ayah number 131, and fear the fire which has been prepared for the disbelievers, and obey Allah and the Messenger that you may obtain mercy. What do we learn here? We must obey Allah. We cannot just believe in Allah. See, there's a two things. One is believing in Allah, and the other one is obeying Allah. Believe in Allah means kalima. You said it. Alhamdulillah, we're Muslims. But obeying Allah is what is required, right? So obey Allah, not just obey Allah only, but His Messenger, that you may obtain mercy. What do we learn here? Obeying Allah and His Messenger are contingent upon mercy of Allah. Mercy of Allah's matter is contingent upon obeying Allah and His Messenger. Alhamdulillah. And hasten towards goodness. I want you to highlight this. And hasten towards forgiveness. Wasari'u ila al-maghfirah. Notice, before we learn, wasari'u ila al-khayrat. towards goodness. Here, Lef Mata is saying, yes, but you have to run towards maghfirah too. Seek maghfirah. And the sari of ilal maghfirah, this ayah can be implemented very well in this month of Ramadan. Make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those, when they come out from the month of Ramadan, they are forgiven. And your Lord and a garden that is paradise, as wide as the heavens and the earth, prepared for the righteous. May Allah make us among those who spend in the cause of Allah during ease and hardship. This is what we learn, that when a person spends not in just good times, but in hardship. Today, a lot of people, because of the given economic situation, may be undergoing a lot of trouble. This is the time they should open up their heart for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the time they should be giving and sharing whatever they have with their neighbors and people who are in need. And of course, the beautiful ayah number 134, we learn amazing, amazing stuff. And that is, we not just they spend during ease and hardship, and who restrains anger, meaning, I want you to highlight this, you know why? Because they are the one who basically swallow their anger. Because you know what? Anger is something that keeps us divided, because we don't want to agree with other people. Anger is something that keeps us mad. Anger is something that keeps us from being Ummat al-Wasat. Anger is something that destroys the relationship. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the beginning that you are supposed to be together. La tafarraqu. It is anger that keeps us away and not united. You see, because of anger, people have divided themselves into small groups. And you and I, being a mother, when anger takes over, what we do is we speak up and we say things which we're not supposed to say. And because of anger, people separated. Because of anger, relationships go sour. So make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you and I wal qawwimin al ghayz. Qawwimin al ghayz are the one who swallow the sip of anger and keep it inside. Being angry, it's okay, because it's anger is a natural thing. But once anger comes, let not take it over you. And then, وَالْعَافِينَ مِنْ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And then once you swallow the anger, forgive too. Not just swallow the angers and keep it inside of you and outrage some years later. No, you have to forgive too. You know why? Because Allah loves al-Muhsineen. And those who, when they commit an immorality or wrong themselves by transgression, and remember Allah and seek forgiveness. And this is the next step. Don't you see that there is a chain of command that Allah SWT is giving to develop a special kind of personality? That's what we learned here. A personality that is there to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all these chain reactions really matters. You know why? Because once you develop, if you go through the beginning, what we're learning today, once you open up your heart by giving, and then you come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then you do a nation that enjoins good and forbids evil, and then you have a focus of clearing your faces and brightening your faces, and then you do sari'una fil khayrat, and then you do sari'u ila al-maghfira, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you are the one who can control your anger and then forgive people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make things easy for you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about giving again. Who spend in the cause of Allah during ease and hardship. And then those who, when they commit an immorality or wrong themselves by transgression, remember Allah. Meaning, they don't persist on doing wrong. They come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek forgiveness for their sins. And who can forgive sins except Allah? And who do not persist in what they have done while they know? Those, their reward is forgiveness. Whose reward is forgiveness? The one who seeks it. And whose reward is forgiveness? The one who swallow the anger. Let's make intention right now, O Allah, give me ability to control my anger. And for them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared something from their Lord and gardens beneath which rivers flow in paradise, wherein they will abide eternally. I want you to try to relax your mind and think about it. Even though it may seem hard what to do in this dunya, but you will be resting forever in this beautiful place called Jannah. And excellent is the reward of the righteous workers. Similar situations as yours have passed on before you. So proceed throughout the earth and observe how was the end of those who denied. This Quran is a clear statement. I want you to think about it. Is it real clear statement? Is it giving you clear instructions what to do and how to live this life? If yes, then ask Allah, oh Allah, help me to truly live my life according to this Quran. You know why? Because it is the guidance and instructions for those who fear Allah. Lil muttaqeen, meaning, oh Allah, make me the person of a taqwa so I can live my life according to Quran, because Quran is giving me instructions. It's telling me to stay up, get up early in the morning. It is telling me to have focus in my life. You know, when people do not have any direction in their life, they can do anything and everything. At the end of the day, they're in the same place. And then they die from this world. People don't even remember them. So make sure that we, you and I as a believer, do something before we leave this world. And so do not weaken and do not grieve, and you will be superior if you are true believers. O Allah, make us among true believers. If a wound should touch you, there has already touched opposing people a wound similar to it. And these days of varying conditions, we alternate among the people so that Allah may make evident those who believe and may take to himself from among you martyrs. And Allah does not like the wrongdoers, and that Allah may purify the believers through trials. This is why the hardship comes, because Allah SWT wants to test our iman. Allah SWT purifies, Allah SWT separates the people of the iman from others, and destroy the disbelievers. What we learn here is that trials are basically our tests. If we feel closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we got it made. Or do you think that you will enter paradise while Allah has not made evident those of you who fight in his cause and made evident those who are steadfast? Meaning, Allah will test you and I. And you had certainly wished for death, that is martyrdom, before you encountered it, and you have now seen it before you while you were looking on. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not but a messenger. Ayah number 144 is very important. Here we learn about Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was mortal. He was messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was also human like any other human. Yes, he was given the highest status, but he was just a human. And other messengers have passed on before him. So if he was to die or be killed, would you turn back on your heel to unbelief? And he who turned back on his heel will never harm Allah at all, but Allah will reward the grateful. And it is not possible for one to die except by the permission of Allah. What do we learn here? We should not be fearing death. Yes, precaution is okay. We can take them. But those precautions will fail if we are supposed to die. So never fear death. Instead, prepare for death. This could be a gem you can write down. Instead of fearing death, prepare for death. Inshallah. As a decree determined, and whoever desires the reward of this world, we will give him thereof, and whoever desires the reward of the hereafter, we will give him thereof, and we will reward the grateful. This ayah teaches us how to focus and have the right compass in your life. Whatever you want, whatever you will get. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and how many a prophet fought in battle, and with him fought many religious scholars, but they never lost assurance due to what afflicted them in the cause of Allah, nor did they weaken or submit. And Allah loves steadfast people. What do we learn in this ayah? So many qualities. People of knowledge, stay firm. Do not lose heart, feel weak, or give up when the trial comes. Highlight this ayah for yourself. Inshallah, it will help you. Attach yourself with Quran. It will give you strength to pull through the toughest time of your lives. And their word were not but that they said, our Lord, forgive us our sins. This is a beautiful dua. And dua, Rabbana filana dunubana wa israfana fi amrina wa sabbit aqdamana. Our Lord, forgive us our sins and the axis we commit in our affairs and plant firmly our feet and give us victory over the disbelieving people. Meaning, those people who are grateful of their iman, they ask Allah for forgiveness. Question, do you and I feel grateful about having an iman? If we do, then we must ask this dua. See, forgiveness and firmness upon deen comes when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah gave them the reward of this world and the good reward of the hereafter. Allah loves the doers of the good. Allahu yuhibbul muhsineen. So we are here about learning the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the way we can attain the love of Allah is becoming a muhsineen. This should be one of the goals we should have. Ayah number 149. O you who have believed, if you obey those who disbelieve, they will turn you back on your heels and you will then become losers. So don't obey someone who does not believe in Allah. Obeying means copying them also. But Allah is your protector. Qulillah mawlaakum wa huwa khairun nasireen. Allah is your protector. Who can be the best protector other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And He is the best of the helpers. We will cast terror into the hearts of those who disbelieve for what they have associated with Allah, of which He had not sent down any authority. And their refuge will be the fire, and wretched is the residence of the wrongdoers. And Allah has certainly fulfilled His promise to you when you were killing them, and that the enemy by His permission until the time when you lost courage and fell to disputing about the order given by the Prophet and disobeyed after He had shown you that which you love. Among you are some who desire this world, and among you are some who desire the hereafter. Then He turned you back from that defeated that He might test you. In the battle of Uhud, when the battlefield turned over, when those 50 archers, they're supposed to be there, when they saw the war booty, the love of dunya took over their heart, and they ignored the command of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though the command was very clear, do not leave the back part, or else until the further instruction comes. Even to this point, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, even the corpses are eating by the bird, meaning the battle is over, you still don't leave your post. But the love of dunya took over and they left the post. And this is what we learn about that in this ayah. They ignored the command of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam and disobeyed him, and that really made the field turn over in the opposite direction. And He has already forgiven you. What do we learn here? Even though those people made such a big mistake, and because of their mistake, lot of people hurt, Islam hurt, Muslim hurt, people lost their life, people really made things turned over, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and He has already forgiven you. What do we learn? We should forgive people. We should learn how to forgive people. No matter how bad they do to us, no matter how much disobeying they do to us, no matter how wrong they do to us, we should forgive people. You know why? Because at the end of the day, our goal is to seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't that so? If that's the goal, if we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us, don't you think that we should forgive people? Because you know why? Forgiveness is for our own good. If we forgive, trust me, you will feel so much lighter. All those grudges that you may have in your heart, you've been carrying it for years around. Try to let them go now. I'll give you 5 second pause. Think of the people that you have hard feelings against. Forgive them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if we have grudges in our heart, do you think we can be Ummatul Wasat? Do you think we can have the mindset to love Allah? Because Allah's love can only enter the heart if your heart is free of grudges, enmity, animosity, hatred, dislikes. Unless our container of the heart is empty, we cannot move forward. Take a moment. Alhamdulillah. May Allah make it possible for all of us to forgive anybody and everybody that may have hurt you even in abundance. Still, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, open up your heart for them. And you know what the best way you can do that? Give them something. Send them gifts. Mail them gifts. Send them nice messages with nice happy emojis. Ayah number 153, remember when you fled and climbed the mountain without looking aside at anyone while the messenger was calling you from the behind, so Allah repaid you with distress upon distress. I want you to highlight this part. When they disobeyed Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is why distress came. When we disobey sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when we disobey the commands of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the distress, don't you think that distress is going to come over us? Don't you see this is exactly what's going on to the Muslims of the world today? This is because we take our deen very lightly. We take our deen as a part-time hobby. If we have time, we'll do salah. If we're busy shopping and malling, we don't have time. And this is why problems come. Distress upon distress. So you would not grieve for that which had escaped you of victory and spoils of war, or for that which had befallen you of injury and death, and Allah is fully aware of what you do. Then, after distress, He sent down upon you security. But you know what? What we learn here is that even good people can make mistakes. But when they repent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends them peace and security in their heart. In the form of drowsiness, overcoming faction of you, while another faction worried about themselves, thinking of Allah other than the truth, the thought of ignorance, saying, is there anything for us to have done in this matter? Say, indeed, the matter belongs to completely to Allah. They conceal within themselves what they will not reveal to you. They say, if there was anything we could have done in the matter, or we, that is some of us, would not have been killed right here. Say, even if you had been inside your houses, those decreed to be killed would have come out of their deathbeds. It was so that Allah might test what is in your breasts and purify what is in your hearts, and Allah is knowing of that within the breast. Lesson here. Death is inevitable. It's going to come anyway. We should not fear it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us through trials. So check our iman. How can we take it? Do we become complainer? Why me? Why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing me? Or do we become grateful that, oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is purifying me? You know, there are two ways to look at things. Two sides of the pictures, right? If somebody is getting very sick, they can say, why me? Or they can say, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for clearing up my sins from me. Indeed, those of you who turned back on the day the two enemies met at the Uhud, it was Shaitan who caused them to slip. Rest assured, when we make mistakes, it is Shaitan. Always blame Shaitan. This is why we need to seek refuge in Allah against Shaitan. Because of some blame that they had earned, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already forgiven them. Indeed, Allah is forgiving and forbearing. Innallaha ghafurun haleem. I want you to highlight this. You know why? Because this will increase your love of Allah and this will give you the tawheed. Because it is only Allah who can forgive. O you who have believed, do not be like those who disbelieve and said about their brothers when they traveled through the land or went out to fight, if they had been with us, they would not have died or have been killed. So Allah makes that misconception a regret within their hearts. And it is Allah who gives life. This is Tawheed, oneness of Allah. Allah is the one who made you to live. Allah is the one who can make you die right this moment. And it is Allah who gives you life and causes you death. And Allah is seeing of what you do. Lesson for this. Whatever is going to happen, happen. We need to prepare ourselves. And if you are killed in the cause of Allah or die, then forgiveness from Allah and mercy are better than whatever they accumulate in the world. People may accumulate all kinds of goodness for the next 50 years, but they don't know if they're going to die. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, what is best for you, to accumulate the worldly stuff or accumulate the love of Allah? And whether you die or are killed unto Allah, you will be gathered. Meaning, in any way, we will gather in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, by the mercy of Allah, mercy from Allah, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you were lenient. I want you to highlight this ayah, because this ayah gives you basically a personality. Look at this ayah and think of yourself and think of the personality of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We claim that we love Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us what kind of personality Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have. Because of his personality, Islam spreaded. Not because of the sword, because of his lintalahum. He was soft amongst people. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. So by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you were lenient with them. Even though they made mistake, didn't they? They disobeyed, didn't they? They didn't listen to command of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, didn't they? But what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you have to be nice. You have to let go. You have to develop a personality who forgoes people, who let them go, who frees their heart, or else, you know what, people will disperse from you. Have you ever seen a personality whom people don't want to talk? Do you know why? Because they are very stern and tough, and they're not very forgiving. And when people are not very forgiving, people don't like to hang around with them. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was an extremely forgiving person. This is why the crowd of people used to stay around him. People used to follow him down to the T. He sneezed, people would sneeze. He looked, people would look. He opened his button, people would open his button. He turned, people would turn. He put smile, people would smile. This is how much people copied him. This is because of his qualities of lintalahum. I want you to highlight this word and make dua that this month of Ramadan, this could be one of my goals, that develop a personality that is linta, meaning lean personality, layyina, gentle, kind, caring, loving, forgiving, and decisive personality, reliable personality. You know why? Because if you humble yourself, then it becomes easy to develop all these qualities that you see above. No one can do that. Only if you want to, with the help of Allah, you can develop this personality. And if you had been rude in speech and harsh in heart, they would have disbanded from about you. So pardon them and ask forgiveness for them. It's not easy to ask forgiveness for the people who do wrong to you. But this is what we need to do. And this will give you the love of Allah. And this will bring the oneness of Allah in your heart. If you forgive those who hurt you. And consult them in matter. Not just forgive. Keep kinship tie. Be the upfront person. Raise your hand. Be the first one who say hello and salam to them. Instead of waiting, I've forgiven them, but I don't want to talk to them. This is what people say. Yes, I've forgiven them, but I don't want to keep ties. But Allah SWT is saying, no, bring them back in your life. Talk to them. Invite them. Seek mashwara. Seek guidance from them. Seek advice from them. And then rely upon Allah. Besides all that, rely upon Allah. Indeed, Allah loves those who rely. So if you and I are here to gather the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we need to become and develop a tawakkul in ourselves. And if Allah should aid you, no one can overcome you. But if He should forsake you, who is there that can aid you after Him? So why shouldn't we forgive? Why shouldn't we be nice? And upon Allah, let the believers rely. فَلْيَتَوَكِّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. What do we learn? Reliance upon Allah is the key to success. And it is the key to learn, to earn the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not attributable to any prophet that he would act unfaithfully in regrets to war booty. And whoever betrays taking unlawfully will come with what he took on the day of resurrection. Then will every soul be fully compensated for what it earned, and they will not be wronged. So, ayah number 162, I want you to highlight this word, Ridwanullah. So, is one who pursues the pleasure of Allah? Question, do you and I want to pursue the pleasure of Allah? If we do, then we should remember this ayah and these qualities we just learned. Why? Because only then will pursue the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like one who brings upon himself the anger of Allah and whose refuge is hell and rest is the destination. Meaning, it is up to us. If we want to pursue the pleasure of Allah or the wrath of Allah, may Allah make us among those who pursue the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hum darajatum indallah. Wallahu basirun bima ya'malun. They are varying degrees in the sight of Allah, and Allah is seeing of whatever they do. Laqad manna Allah. Certainly did Allah confer great favor upon the believers when He sent among them a messenger from themselves, reciting to them His verses and purifying them and teaching them the book, meaning this Quran. Question. Do you and I are learning this Quran because Prophet ﷺ taught us? Alhamdulillah. And wisdom, meaning the Sunnah. Although they had been before in manifest error. Why? Why is that when a single disaster struck you on the day of Uhud, although you had struck the enemy in the Battle of Badr with one twice as great, you said, from where is that? Where is this? Say, it is from yourself. That is due to your own sin. Indeed, Allah is over all things competent. What we learn in this ayah is the problems, the hardships comes because of our own mistakes. And what struck you on the day the two armies met at Uhud was by permission of Allah, and that He might make evident the true believers. So next time, when a hardship comes your way, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing you, how you take your hardship. Do you become a complainer or do you become a grateful slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Ayah number 167, and that He might make evident those who are hypocrites, for it was said to them, come fight in the way of Allah or at least defend. They said, if we had known there would be battle, we would have followed you. They were nearer to disbelief and that day than to faith, saying with their mouths what was not in their hearts, and Allah is most knowing of what they conceal. This is the hypocrisy of the heart of the people. May Allah save us from the hypocrisy when it comes to our deen. Ayah number 168, those who said about their brothers, while sitting at home, if they had obeyed us, they would not have been killed. Say, then prevent it from yourself. If you should be truthful, can you take their death away from you? No, then why not? Why don't you come and fight for the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and work for Allah? Ayah number 169, and never think of those who have been killed in the cause of Allah as dead. Rather, they are alive with their Lord, receiving provision. This is the status of martyrs, the one who die in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rejoicing in what Allah has bestowed upon them of His bounty, and they receive good tidings about those to be martyred after them who have not yet joined them, then there will be no fear concerning them, nor will they grieve. May Allah make us among those. Ayah number 171. Yastabshirun min Allah. They receive good tidings of favor from Allah and bounty, and of the fact that Allah does not allow the reward of the believers to be lost. Rest assured, whatever little, even the littlest thing we do, it will be saved and the reward is waiting for us. Those believers who responded to Allah and the Messenger after injury has struck them, for those who did good among them and feared Allah, is a great reward. What do we learn here? Taqwa is a necessary element of our life we must strive for. Those to whom people, that is hypocrites, said, indeed, the people have gathered against you, so fear them, but it merely increased them in faith. And they said, sufficient for us is Allah. Who is Allah? He is the best of disposer of affairs. This is a beautiful dua. This is the dua that you can actually say all the time. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. You know why? Because when we rely upon Allah, Allah becomes enough for everything what we have. Then our heart doesn't feel distress, and there is no stress comes over our shoulders. People today feel so much stress of daily life. Work stress, daily life stress, kids stress. Husband stress, family stress. Husband, Allah, our name of Wakil, is a solution to all kinds of stress that may come in your way. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if a person says, Husband, Allah, our name of Wakil, you know what happens? So they return with favor from Allah and bounty, no harm happening, having touched them. So when a person says, Husband, Allah, our name of Wakil, no harm touches them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of the thing. And they pursue the pleasure of Allah. That's another best benefit. When a person relies, Hasbun Allah wa ni'mal wakeel, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they are basically seeking the pleasure of Allah. Next time, when you feel stress, distress, anxiety, depression, or any kind of distress, Hasbun Allah wa ni'mal wakeel. And Allah is a possessor of the great bounty. That is only Shaitan who frightens you of his supporters. So fear them not, but fear me. When a person says, Hasbun Allah wa ni'mal wakeel, then he should know that I should only fear Allah and not the Shaitan. Do not be grieved, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by those who hasten into disbelief. Indeed, they will never harm Allah at all. Nobody does harm any harm to Allah. And the people who rely upon Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save them from harm too. Allah intends that He should give them no share in the hereafter. For them, it is a great punishment. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُا الْكُفْرَ بِالْإِيمَانِ لَنْ يَضُرُّوا اللَّهَ شَيْئًا وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Indeed, those who purchase disbelief in exchange for faith, never will they harm Allah at all, and for them is a painful punishment. And let not those who disbelieve ever think that because we extend their time of enjoyment, it is better for them. We only extend it for them so that they may increase in sin, and for them is humiliating punishment. Ayah number 178 tells us something very important. When you see prospering, the disbelievers, the disobeyers, they are doing major sins and they are still living happily, it is not because Allah has forgotten about them or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven them, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them time. And one day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will catch them. May Allah save us from among those who stay ignorant in this world, assuming that, oh, if Allah is happy with us, this is why we are happy in this dunya and doing things and disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not the case that we learn in this ayah number 178. Ayah number 179, Allah would not leave the believers in that state or you are presently until He separates the evil from the good, nor would Allah reveal to you the unseen, but instead Allah chooses of His messengers from evils. So believe in Allah and His messengers, and if you believe and fear Him, then for you is the great reward. And let not those who greedily withhold what Allah has given them of His bounty. Highlight this ayah. Because sometimes we hold on to our stuff greedily that one day I will need it, one day I will use it. No, because this is not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. Because the more you give, the more you get. The more you hold on to, the more stingy you become and the more greedy you become. Everything that is better for them, rather it is worse for them. Their necks will be encircled with what they withheld on the day of resurrection, and to Allah belongs the heritage of the heavens and the earth, and Allah of what you do is fully aware. Allah has certainly heard the statement of those who said, indeed Allah is poor. You know, when we are asked to donate for the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people think, how come Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking? This is what the people of the Jews said. Indeed, Allah is poor, na'uzubillah. While we are rich, we will record what they said and their killing of the prophets without right, and will say, taste the punishment of the burning fire. Ayah number 182. That is for what your hands have put forth, and because Allah is not ever unjust to His servants. They are those who said, indeed, Allah has taken our promise not to believe any messenger until He brings us an offering which fire from heavens will consume. Say, there have already come to you messengers before me with clear proofs, and even that of which you speak. So, why did you kill them? If you should be truthful, then if they deny you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so were messengers denied before you. So if you and I are denied, then you should know that it is a sunnah that all prophets were denied. All prophets, when people advise goodness to other people, people do not like it. Who brought clear proofs and written ordinance and enlightened scriptures? And ayah number 185 is about the death again. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. And this is something we need to remember. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. And why? Because every soul will taste death. Ask yourself, am I immortal? Am I never going to die? If that's the case, then I should be living happy. But if I know that nobody lives forever, then what should be the end goal? The end goal should be Ridwanu min Allah. And you will only be given your full compensation on the day of resurrection. So he who is drawn away from the fire and admitted to the paradise has attained his desire. And what is the life of this world except the enjoyment of delusion? People who have this concept very clear, that one day I have to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they don't get deluded in this life, because they know that my focus is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to earn the pleasure of Allah, and then they are the one who will get the Jannah. You will surely be tested in your possessions and in yourselves, and you will surely hear from those who were given the scripture before you, and from those who associate others with Allah, much abuse. But if you are patient and fear Allah, indeed, that is of the matters worthy of resolve. Meaning, if you develop two things, patience, sabr, and taqwa, the life of this dunya, no matter how much hardship you go through, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for you. This does not mean that the hardship will not come. This means that hardship will come, but Allah will teach you how to resolve the situations and how to live through it and pass through it. And mention when Allah took a covenant from those who were given the scripture, saying, you must make it clear, that is, explain it to the people and not conceal it, but they threw it away behind their backs and exchanged it for the small price. And wretched is that which they purchased. May Allah save us from among those. And never think that those who rejoice in what they have perpetrated and like to be praised for what they did not do, never think them to be in safety from the punishment, and for them is a painful punishment. In ayah number 188, we learn there are some people who don't even do the job, but they like to take the credit. So what do we learn here? Taking credit for something that you did not do is not the right thing to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it. Even if the dunya gives you credit, wow, what a nice and pious person. She does this and he does that. But Allah knows whether you did it or not, right? So whatever we do and have, it belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know what? Only smart people can learn from this. Because people who think they are smart, they are basically not very smart, because they are making things up. And you know why? Because وَلِلَّهِ الْمُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And to Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth, and Allah is over all things competent. This is the ayah of Tawheed. This is the ayah that will give you the oneness of Allah and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more you think about this ayah, the more you repeat this ayah, the more you contemplate upon this ayah, the more the love of Allah will come, and the more your focus and the compass will be straightened out. Indeed, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Indeed, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the alteration of the night and the day, are signs for those of understanding. From ayah number 190 to 200, the last 10 ayahs are the ayahs that are, we are supposed to memorize them. Do you know why? Because it is a sunnah of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he used to get up in the middle of the night, every time he would get up, he would recite these ayahs. And he would recite these ayahs without even wudu, meaning while he was in bed, he would recite them. Do you know why? Because these 10 ayahs are very special ayahs. These ayahs give you the love of Allah. These ayahs tells you the reality of this world. And these ayahs tells you that how to contemplate and think about the nature. And when you have renew and remember this message, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you develop the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that all these last few ayahs from ayah number 190 to 200, we can memorize them, so we can recite them without even wudu. We don't need our phone to look at them. Until you have memorized them, you can look at the phone and make dua that this Ramadan, maybe we can memorize these 10 ayahs, inshallah. And in these 10 ayahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala develop a personality who thinks, who contemplates, who asks. And there are two du'as also in these ayahs. Ayah number 191, who remember Allah, meaning while standing or sitting or lying down. I want you to highlight this word. Allatheena yazkuruna Allaha qiyaman wa qu'udan wa 'ala junubihim. Who remembers Allah while standing or sitting or lying on their sides and gives thought to the creation. Highlight this part. وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ. People do not have time to think about Allah anymore. People do not have time to think about Allah's creation anymore. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inviting us to do. Creations of the heavens and the earth, saying, our Lord, you did not create this aimlessly. I want you to right now look at outside the window and see the sky and think and say, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create this beautiful world out of nothing? Without any purpose? Aimlessly? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create anything aimlessly. Exalted are you above such a thing, then protect us from the punishment of the fire. Basically, you are admitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you have created everything for a purpose and you are subhana, and save us from the punishment of the hellfire. رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ مَنْ تُدْخِلِ النَّارَ فَقَدْ أَخْزَيْتَهُ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارِ. Our Lord, indeed, whoever you admit to the fire, you have disgraced him, and for the wrongdoers, there are no helpers. Imagine if you remind this message to yourself every day. Don't you think that your compass will be straight? Don't you think that becoming Ummat al-Wasat will be easy for you? Don't you think that holding on to your anger will be easy for you? Don't you think that Wa'tasimu bihablillah become easy on you? And then you ask beautiful dua, Rabbana innana. Our Lord, indeed, we have heard a caller, meaning Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yunadi lil iman, calling to faith, saying, Rabbana ighfir lana dhunubana wa kaffir 'anna sayyi'atina wa tawaffana ma'al abrar. Believe in your Lord. Question: do we believe in our Lord the way it's supposed to be believed? Our Lord, so since we believe in you, you should forgive us. So forgive us our sins and remove from us our misdeeds. Do we all make misdeeds? Yes, we do. Do we all make mistakes? Yes, we do. This is why we need to ask this dua. Remove from us our misdeeds and cause us to die among the righteous. How beautiful and complete this dua is. not just asking forgiveness, but you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove whatever wrong we do so we can correct ourselves and make us die among the Abrar. Abrar are the righteous people, meaning you spend your life with Abrar so you can die with Abrar. This is such a beautiful wording. Rabbana atina, Rabbana wa atina ma wa'adtana ala rusulika wa la tusina yawm al-qiyamah. إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِعَادِ. Our Lord, and grant us what you promised us through your messengers, and do not disgrace us. Remember that ayah, their faces will be brightened and some faces will be blackened. And this is what we are asking here. Do not disgrace us on the day of resurrection, meaning save us from the regrets of that day. Indeed, you do not fail in your promise. Meaning, you're saying, who can have a perfect promise than other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Question, should we listen to the promises of empty promises of shaitan? Or should we listen and believe in the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُمْ. And their Lord responded to them, never will I allow to be lost the work of any worker among you. Question, are we feeling the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah is saying, never will I allow to be lost the work of any worker among you, whether male or female. This is no discrimination law, right? You are of one another. So those who immigrated or were evicted from their homes or were harmed in my cause or fought or were killed, I will surely remove from them their misdeeds. I want you to pay attention to this word. I will surely remove. Meaning, there is no doubt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove the misdeeds and I will surely admit them to the gardens beneath which river flows as reward from Allah, and Allah has with him the best reward. What do we learn in this ayah? We learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is loving us. Don't you feel the love of Allah in this ayah? Be not deceived by the uninhibited movement of the disbelievers throughout the land. It is but a small enjoyment. Then their final refuge is hell, and wretched is the resting place. But those who fear their Lord will have gardens beneath which river flows, abiding eternally therein as accommodation from Allah. And that which is with Allah is best for the righteous. And indeed, among the people of the scripture are those who believe in Allah and what was revealed to you and what was revealed to them, being humbly submissive to Allah. They do not exchange the verses of Allah for a small price. Those will have their reward with their Lord. Indeed, Allah is swift in account. O you who have believed, persevere and endure and remain stationed and fear Allah that you may be successful. This last ayah is a whole system that we can apply in our daily life to be successful in this dunya. And what are those four things? Isbiru, have patience. Sabiru, and be patient with others too, and join them. Warabitu, and join them, and stay together, stay united, and wattaqullah, and fear Allah, so that you can be successful. This last ayah deserves a lot of detail and understanding. Inshallah, make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for you and I to learn this ayah, at least this ayah, in detail. Let's make intention right now. You know why? Because when you're sitting in a company of righteous book, the Quran, that's when you make the dua. And the duas are answered. Inshallah. Let's listen to the recitation of the next Surah An-Nisa is about to start. Let's listen to the recitation of the Surah An-Nisa for a few ayahs and we'll start Surah An-Nisa. Let's end the Surah Al-Imran, Ali Imran, with a good note that whatever we learn here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me ability to implement and make it possible for me to live by the book and make me feel the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to take this Ramadan in a different way where my heart is filled with the love of Allah, inshaAllah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا وآتوا اليتامى أموالهم ولا تتبدلوا الخبيث بالطيب ولا تأكلوا أموالهم إلى أموالكم إنه كان حوبا كبيرا وإن خفتم ألا تقسطوا في اليتامى فانكحوا ما طاب لكم من النساء فانكحوا ما طاب لكم من النساء مثنى وثلاث ورباع فإن خفتم ألا تعدلوا فواحدة أو ما ملكتا ألا تعولوا
الحمد لله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. We have just ended a beautiful surah, Surah Ali Imran. Now another chapter. This chapter is called Surah An-Nisa. Surah An-Nisa is on the name of a woman. Nisa means woman. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves women so much that He has made a chapter for women. And do you see any chapter in this Quran that's called Ar-Rijal? A chapter dedicated for men? No, this is a love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah loves you and I, so much so that He has created a chapter for you and I. Inshallah, in Surah An-Nisa, we will learn, it is a very different surah, it has lots of rulings and regulations, and inshallah, let's go for the ayah by ayah, and let's make the art of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for us to complete our goal and target for today. Surah An-Nisa. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ya ayyuhan nas ittaqu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahida. O mankind, fear your Lord who created you from one soul and created from it its mate and dispersed from both of them many men and women, and fear Allah through whom you ask one another and the wombs. Indeed, Allah is ever over you an observer. In this surah, this first ayah basically, this is an ayah of khutbat al-nikah. This ayah is usually quoted when the nikah ceremony is done. But you know what? How many nikahs we have attended so far? And do you know that this ayah has been quoted and you heard it many times? Do you know the meaning of this ayah? This is why it is so important that we learn that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written in this book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us He is the one who created man and a woman for a reason. Today people deny this ayah. People are living this culture of LGBTQ and they think it is justifiable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said no. In this surah basically we will learn so many rights of women that your heart should be filled with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love. And we will learn about the weakest member of the society. And this surah basically gives a solution to all the problems that Ummat-e-Muslimah is facing now. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in this ayah, if you live by this surah, you can solve all the problems. Because in this surah, we will learn how to overcome a problem of overpopulation and how we solve when there are not enough men available, and how can we solve the society from the problems that may come. and give to the orphans their properties, and do not substitute the defective of your own for the good of their or good of theirs, and do not consume their properties into your own. Indeed, that is ever a great sin. This is Islam. It even talks about orphans. Who do you think, which religion do you think, says so much detail about orphans? If they are living with you, how do you deal with them? And this is the beauty of Islam, because after the Battle of Uhud, many men died, and there were a lot of orphans remained. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the solution, because people took those orphans in their custody, and they were taking care of them, and they didn't know what to do. And there were a lot of men who died, and because of that, there were so many widow women. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the solution, what to do in case of war, when men died. So, and if you fear that you will not deal justly with the orphan girls, then marry those that pleases you of other women, 2, 3, or 4. When people hear this ayah, they get upset. How come Islam has 4 marriages allowed? No, that is before Islam, in the pre-Islamic era, there were no limits, and people would marry up to 100 women at a time. When Islam came, it put the limit up to 4, meaning Islam is not saying it's mandatory for you to go marry this many women. In fact, Islam protected women and limited the count that you cannot marry more than 4. And of course, the next part, people don't pay attention. And the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed up to 4 was because situations may occur. Like at the time of Uhud, there were so many women left and people didn't know how to handle the situation. This is why this command came. And then, but if you fear that you will not be just, then marry only one. Marry only one. And how many marriages do you see that people who are able to keep justice between 2 or more wives? You don't see many. In fact, you don't even see our men having 2 or 3 wives. And then people who do not believe in Islam, they try to attack Islam this way. And the liberal women who do not have the knowledge of Quran, they also say, oh, Islam is this, and how come Allah allows 4 wives? There is so much hikmah in everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this for a reasoning. It's a sign of the Day of Judgment also that there will be 1 man over 50 women, because men will be less in number. So anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows, there has to be a reasoning for it. But if you fear that you will not be just, then marry only one, or those who your right hand possesses, meaning your slave girls, that is more suitable, that you may not incline to injustice. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us ability to learn this ayah in detail, and give the woman upon marriage their bridal gift. This is the protection Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you and I, that you have to give the protection to the woman by giving them the haq mahar. Haq mahar is a mandatory part of nikah. Without it, there is no nikah. Who's supposed to give this haq mahar? The husband, the groom is supposed to give this haq mahar. Today we live in a culture that women family have to give the dowry. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the other way. A man who is going to get married, he's the one who gives this haq mahar. And without haq mahar, nikah is invalid. So you must give this their bridal gifts graciously. Notice the word here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, give this sadaqatihunna nihla, meaning graciously. But if they give up willingly to you anything of it, then it is in satisfaction and ease. And do not give the weak-minded your property, which Allah has made a means of sustenance for you, but provide for them with it and clothe them and speak to them word of appropriate kindness. Question. Do you feel the love of Allah in this ayah? Because Allah's mother is saying, give the gift to the woman graciously, take them into your care, do not treat them unjustly, and be nice to them. Give them and the weak members of the society, treat them nicely, and provide for them, and clothe them, and speak to them appropriate kindness. This is what Islam is. I don't know what kind of Islam people talk about because of ignorance. That is not Islam. And you know what? This is why we need to be Ummat-e-Wasat, to learn the book ourselves so we can really defend Islam, practice Islam, spread Islam, let the world know that this is what Islam teaches. How come these ayahs are not shared with the general public? How come media doesn't talk about all these good ayahs? And test the orphans in their abilities until they reach marriageable age. Then if you perceive in them sound judgment, release their property to them. Meaning, if you would give them their property earlier, they might waste it, right? If you give money to a child, what do you think he's going to do? He's going to go buy a candy from it. So this is why. And do not consume it excessively and quickly so that they don't get anything out of it. Anticipating that they will grow up and whoever, when acting as guardian, is self-sufficient, should refrain from taking a fee. Meaning, if you are not able to take care of orphan, yes, you can charge them fee. But if you think you can do it, then you should not take the fee. And whoever is poor, let him take according to what is acceptable. Meaning, don't devour it. Then, when you release their property to them, bring witness upon them, and sufficient is Allah is an accountant. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ حَسِيبًا. For men is a share of what the parents and close relatives leave, and for women is a share of what the parents and the close relative leave, be it little or much, an obligatory share. Meaning, where we learn the law of inheritance. The law of inheritance is a part of Islam. We must give, you know, this is the beauty of Islam. Islam not the name of only just five pillars. How you get married, who do you get married, what gift do you give, and how you divorce, we have already learned that, and how you take care of the weakest member of the society, how you take care of and distribute your wealth. This is all Islam. Today we see partial Islam. This is why you see Muslims are not even happy with their own Islam, and you see non-Muslims attacking Islam because they don't see the real Islam in display. The whole world has estimated 5 or 6 billion Muslims. And how many Muslims do you see that they practice everything according to Islam? When a family member dies, they don't even do the law of inheritance properly. Family fights and they say, no, we cannot give up the house. Where am I going to go? Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you have to give up. It doesn't matter. And the law of inheritance will come in a lot of detail, inshallah. And this is a farida, meaning it is a mandatory part that we must follow this part of the Islam too. And when other relatives and orphans and the needy are present at the time of the division, then provide for them something out of it that the estate, and the speak to them good and appropriate words of appropriate kindness, meaning be nice and gentle to people. When it comes to distribution of the wealth, people become rude and tough. And let those executors and guardians fear injustice as if they themselves had left weak orphans behind and feared for them. So let them fear Allah and speak word of appropriate justice. Repeatedly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding, take care of the matters very seriously and be kind and nice and be fearful of Allah. Because when the taqwa is not there, then a person can do anything and everything. Taqwa is basically that restraining belt that keeps the horse in its place, right? Taqwa is that control that keeps the people according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands are. If taqwa is not there, then people can do anything and everything that they want. Basically, what we learn in these ayahs is that we must develop taqwa when dealing everyday matters in our life. And indeed, those who devour the property of orphans unjustly are only consuming into their bellies fire, and they will be burned in the blaze. Allah instructs you concerning your children, that is, their portion of inheritance, for a male what is equal to the share of two females. You know, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that? Do you know why? Because male is responsible to taking care of the whole family. Female, even if she gets one share, she is responsible for nothing. She can keep that whole one share to herself. She can buy the clothes. She can keep it to herself. She can do whatever she wants. She doesn't have to give a penny to anybody. And you know what? When people don't have that knowledge of Quran, women get upset. How come women get one share and men get two? They forget that men is the one who's going to take care of you. Now, for example, a father passed away and there's a brother and a sister. Brother got two shares and the sister got one share. And who's going to take care of the sister? Or who's going to take care of each other? Do you think that it's the brother's responsibility to take care of the sister? Or it's the sister's responsibility to take care of the brother? It's not, right? It's the brother's responsibility to take care of the sister. It's the brother's responsibility to spend on his own family on top of that, take care of the sister too. And you know what the sister's supposed to be doing? She can keep all what she gets. Don't you think it's only fair? But in fact, you know what? It's too much. Sister should not even get the one share. You know why? Because she's keeping it to herself. She can even get half of it and she should be happy. Because a man, on the other hand, is spending on you too, on that sister too. So, inshallah, when you learn Quran, it opens up your heart and it fills your heart with love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how much layers of protection Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to women. And women comes out and do the women march and they say, we need rights over our bodies. It's my body, my mind. How can they say that? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who made these laws more than 1400 years ago. And these are all for the protection of the women. And the more you will learn Quran, the more you will love Allah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected women each and every way. And women say, I want this and I want that. And they are complaining. So inshallah, let's make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for us to learn these ayahs in detail. And then here, but if they are only daughters, two or more, for them is two-thirds and of one state. And if there is only one, for her is half. And for one's parents to each one of them is a sixth of his state. If he left children, but if he had no children, then the parents alone inherited from him. Then for his mother is one-third. And if he had brothers, and for sisters, for his mother is a sixth. After any bequest he may have made or debt, your parents or your children, or you know not which of them are nearest to you in benefit, that is share and obligation imposed by Allah. Indeed, Allah is ever knowing. What do we learn in this? We learn the details of how we're supposed to distribute the property when you have a different family member. This is basically a very in-depth subject. And let's make dua that we can learn this, inshallah, later in detail. Here, we're going to continue, inshallah, because today we live in the time that majority of the Muslim Ummah is unaware of these laws. And then ayah number 12, as for you, is half of what your wife leaves if they have no child. But if they have a child, for you is one-fourth of what they leave after any bequest, debt. Meaning, for the main thing we learn from this is that if a person has any wasiyah, a bequest, that needs to be taken care of first. All the expenses of his funeral, that needs to be taken care of first. All the debts if a person leaves, that needs to be taken care of first. And then from the remaining wealth, that needs to be distributed according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. This is very important to remember that. And a person cannot really give the inheritance rulings based on what he desires. Today, we have this in our culture. They say, I don't like my son. He lives far away. So I'm not going to give him anything from my wealth. You cannot do that because this law is written 1400 years ago and we cannot change that. People easily say, you know, this daughter took care of me, so I'm going to give her more. That daughter lives far away, I'm going to give her less. Who are you to decide? These decisions are made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some people say, I have three sons. This younger son is very rude and he never talks to me. He never pick up the phone, so I'm not going to give him anything. Or even if I do, I'm going to give him less. No, that we cannot change the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must give their share whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And whatever you leave behind, it has to be according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever you can give in your life, it is your decision. And for them, that is the wives, is one-fourth. If you leave no child, if you leave a child, then for them is an eighth of what you leave after any request you may have made or debt. And if a man or a woman leaves neither ascendants nor descendants, but has a brother or a sister, then for each one of them is a sixth. But if they are more than two, they share a third after any bequest which was made or debt, as long as there is no detriment caused. This is an ordinance from Allah. I want you to highlight this part. This is an ordinance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah is knowing and forbearing, meaning we cannot change these laws. These are the limits set by Allah. Question: do we think these are the limits set by Allah? If that's the case, then how come we do not see people following them? And his messenger will be admitted by him to gardens in paradise under which rivers flow, abiding eternally therein. And that is a great attainment. You know, when people follow deen to this extent, then they deserve the Jannah, right? And whoever disobeys Allah and his messenger and transgresses his limits, he will put him into the fire to abide eternally therein. And he will have humiliating punishment. May Allah save us all. Allahumma la taj'alna minhum. Those who commit immorality, that is unlawful sexual intercourse of your women, bring against them four witnesses from among you, and if they testify, confine them, that is the guilty women, to houses until death takes them or Allah ordains for them another way. This ayah number 15 is very serious ayah. In this ayah, basically we learn you cannot accuse women without any proof. People are too quick. Look, those two people are talking. They must be having a relationship. God knows if they slept together or not. People are too quick to make these judgments. And you know, it's a big sin. In this ayah number 15, we learn you cannot accuse any woman of immorality in a say, unlawful sexual intercourse or zina. You know why? Because you have to have four witnesses. And you know what? If you cannot bring four witnesses, then you have to let go. This, you cannot accuse them. You cannot punish them. And this is how severe this is to accuse somebody without any proofs. May Allah save us from saying and talking about people behind their back, not having any proof. People are sometimes see people sitting in a restaurant, a man and a woman together. They just assume they must have zina to do that. Ayah number 16, and the two who commit it, that is unlawful sexual intercourse, among you punish, that is dishonor them both. But if they repent and correct themselves, leave them alone. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful. He doesn't want to punish them. And if they want to correct themselves, they repent and then forgive them. Leave them alone. Then the question comes in mind, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put these harsh punishments to begin with? Do you know why? Because if punishments are not harsh, then people will not take these crimes seriously. And this is what we see today. Since the punishments are very easy, people do all kinds of sins and they don't fear the sin punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, since his decisions are filled with hikmah, this is why, to stop the problem that the society that we see today, this is why this Suratul Nisa is a solution to all the problems. If these punishments are really implemented, then we will not see the immorality in such a large extent. Today, people don't even mind. People see it's normal. It has become the norm of a society for a man and a woman to live together and commit zina. And it's not even considered zina. You know, in this country, they say zina is only that when it is done without your will. So if we are committing this crime willingly, husband, boy is agreeing and our girl is agreeing too, it is okay. Islam says, even if you do it willingly, agreeing, it is not okay. It deserves the punishment. Indeed, Allah is ever accepting of repentance and merciful. The repentance accepted by Allah is only for those who do wrong in ignorance or carelessness and then repent soon after. It is those to whom Allah will turn in forgiveness, and Allah is ever knowing and wise. People can make mistakes. As long as they realize that they had made a mistake, they need to come back and repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make intention that they're not going to repeat the same mistake again. But repentance is not accepted of those who continue to do evil. Meaning, people can live together, boy and a girl in one house, and they repent every day. Deeds, do evil deeds up until when death comes to one of them, he says, indeed, I have repented now. By then it's too late. Oh, no tawbah is accepted at that moment. Or of those who die while they are disbelievers, for them we have prepared a painful punishment. O you who have believed, it is not lawful for you to inherit women by compulsion. And do not make difficulties for them in order to take back part of what you gave them unless they commit a clear immorality, meaning adultery, and live with them in kindness. For if you dislike them, perhaps you dislike a thing, and Allah makes their end much good. What we learn here is that make your marriages work to every extent you should try to make it work. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want marriages to. But if you want to replace one wife with another and you have given one of them a great amount in gifts, do not take it back. See, there's also another level of protection. A man has given stuff to his wife. He is not supposed to take it back, even though it may be a big amount, like such a house maybe he has given her as a gift, or maybe jewelry, or maybe car, or whatever it is. He's not supposed to take it back from it anything. Would you take it in injustice and manifest sin? And how could you take it while you have gone into each other and they have taken from you a solemn covenant? Meaning, remember good old days, you were husband and wife. How can you take it back from her? And do not marry those women whom your fathers married except what has already occurred. Indeed, it was an immorality and hateful to Allah and was evil as a way. This was allowed before Islam. After Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden. So in this surah An-Nisa, we learn all the rulings, how to keep the society safe and sound. Prohibited to you for marriages are your mothers. In ayah number 23, is basically a list of people whom a person can marry or not. You know why? Because this is the protection for our own self. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made immediate family members haram upon each other. You know why? To protect our own mindset. Imagine if you go somewhere to work or school and at home, your son and daughter are sitting at home. Don't you think if this was allowed in Islam before, it would be so scary because you would always be scared of their relationship? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it haram that that brothers and sisters cannot marry and all close relatives cannot marry. So this is why you stay sound, you stay protected, your mind is free. You're not scared that my daughter is at home and my husband is at home too. Something is going to happen. And today we see they have made everything halal and they even legalized in some states marrying father and son and mother and son. Father and daughter and mother and son and even brothers and sisters. And Islam is such a beautiful solution. This is why we need to bring Islam out in the main media, out in a public limelight, because Islam gives you a solution how to protect the society at large. Today, Muslims have kept Islam to themselves and they're not sharing these ayahs to the public. They're not even don't know the ayahs themselves and how can the society at large can help themselves. So in this list, inshallah, we learn the list, and after this class ends, please go home and think about it. How can you put your share in the spread of Islam? Because these ayahs, this system, this society forming needs to be told in people, in the community, in the world at large. Prohibited to you for marriage are your mothers, your daughters, your sisters, your father's sisters, your mother's sisters, your brother's daughters, your sister's daughters, your milk mothers who nurse you, your sisters through nursing, your wives' mothers, and your stepdaughters under your guardianship born of your wives unto whom you have gone in. But if you have not gone in unto them, there is no sin upon you. And also prohibited are the wives of your sons who are from your own loins, and that you take in marriage two sisters simultaneously, except for what has already occurred. Indeed, Allah is ever forgiving and merciful. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. This last ayah is basically something that we should all think about and be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put this level of protection for us women to live free, and we not worry about our husbands at home living with some other female, and we know that they are protected. May Allah give us guidance and really make it possible for us to live by the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the last slide, you see the reference to our ayahs, inshallah, the juz 4 reference ayah, ayah number 147, Ali Imran, ayah number 173, Ali Imran, ayah number 194 of Ali Imran, and 193 of Ali Imran, inshallah. Why? Because these ayahs, du'as, are the very comprehensive du'a we all should ask, inshallah. And the last slide, you see the summary of juz 4. What we learn here is that if you want to love Allah, sacrifice what you love. Hold on to Quran and Sunnah tightly. Stick together. Do not give yourself any name other than being Muslim only. And this is the hardest thing people find. With the help of Allah, Allah can make it easy. Time of death is written. It will come. So be prepared. Memorize ayah from 190 to 200 because it's a sunnah and this will develop a love of Allah. Society's problems can be solved if we follow Surah Al-Nisa. Observe laws of inheritance in your family, and this is your way to pass on the information to others, inshallah. Here I will end my session. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka. وأتوب إليه. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا واصل الرضا سيشفايزا. الحمد لله رب العالمين. What a beautiful session, subhanAllah. Indeed, a very, very mesmerizing and uplifting lesson. الحمد لله, الحمد لله. How do you guys feel when you hear the word, O people of faith? Alhamdulillah. As it is coming so frequently in every juz. You know what, it makes me teary upon listening that I am addressed by my Lord. Subhanallah. I would like you to please share one thing that you will take from this session today. And you'll ponder upon it, you'll think about it, inshallah wa ta'ala, and try to work towards it, inshallah wa ta'ala. So I would like everyone to please share one thought, one point which just touched your heart. What a beautiful lesson. Alhamdulillah, yes. Indeed it is. Gee, I'm waiting. Give more charity. Yes, Alhamdulillah. And since the month of Ramadan is coming, so we will, our rewards will be multiplied, inshallah. Do not hold on to stuff. Give, yeah, give more charity, yeah. Linta lahum, yes, alhamdulillah. We have to be more lenient, more soft towards our family, our children, and people around us. Dua for tawakkul, yes, alhamdulillah. Forgive everyone, indeed. If we seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we have to do the gesture first. Prepare for death, not fear death, yes. Hold tightly to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not be divided. Indeed it is. And the Quran is the hope. Stay united about will. Follow the rules made them for us to keep us safe, to learn the last 10 ayahs of Surah Al-Imran and ponder over the creation of Allah. Yes, indeed, that's also very important. Humble ourselves for all 10 qualities, inshallah wa ta'ala. Righteousness is conditional, inshallah wa ta'ala. Indeed, it is true. See, we have to think what kind of faith we want for the Day of Judgment. Don't delay seeking forgiveness, inshallah. Don't delay seeking and Jannah, inshallah ta'ala. So we have to decide today. This is the time we have been given for that decision, you know. So till our death. So, but we don't know. It can happen any time. Early morning blessings, yes. That I have mentioned myself to, you know. And we have to decide now before it's too late, because for everything we have to make our mindset for spending our lives for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, what we can do in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's path, that we can help, and we can, you know, help ourselves and we can help people around us. And then, of course, the blessings of the morning. It is so very important and gives you the, you know, reason to wake up. When you hear all these blessings coming to your way and you just feel like, I don't want to miss those blessings. I want to receive all those blessings which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised. Then time of death, it's written. It's written. It is determined. We cannot change it, no matter how bad we want it. The people we love, no matter how bad we want them to stay, we don't want them to go. But when it's time, they have to go. No questions asked. We cannot do this. There's nothing we can do about it. Yes, and more importantly, how do you feel about that the one surah has been added in our names? There is no surah for men, but alhamdulillah, it's for women. Don't you feel proud of your, you know, like, alhamdulillah, you know, like being so overwhelmed and feel so special? Yeah, of course. Feeling is very special, liberated, alhamdulillah. And the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of us, our feelings, you know, in regards to the periods which we did yesterday, and other things in regards to divorce and stuff. So, alhamdulillah, we just touched, you know, like it's just, we are just like touched the little drop of water in the sea. It won't take negative, but it's Of course, it is not about someone take negative. It is for us, you know, because these came for us to learn and implement on in our lives, inshallah wa ta'ala. It could be any member of the family facing that situation. And if we know that, you know, situation, how to, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the rulings on, and we can, inshallah wa ta'ala, implement on that. So we can at least, there are many, many marriages, they are ruined just because people do not know the rulings. So this is very, very important for us to go through those and learn in details, inshallah wa ta'ala. And did you see how beautiful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided us gradually to be the person Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to? Same one to give for both the daughters into their... Dekhe, I'm just a student myself, so I'm sorry I won't be able to answer such questions. So they have to be addressed really to a mufti or just a student like you, right? So inshallah wa ta'ala, you can seek for that. So I was saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us guidance to be the person Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be. Now the question is, are we ready and willing to be that person? So we are so blindsided by the fake promises of shaitan. It is a choice we have to make now while we are living, breathing, while we are healthy and we are in good state of mind. This is the time we have to utilize to make ourselves better. So then I know it takes loads of strength and hard work to be that person. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy if we intend to be that person and are working toward it. Right? So Allah subhanahu, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised that if we take one step towards Him, He will take 10 steps towards us. If we walk towards Him, He will run towards us. Subhanallah. If we talk about Him in the gathering, He will talk about us in the gathering of angels. You see, these promises, words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are so uplifting, so encouraging to do good. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen that our Lord is talking about us, and we, what kind of a fool won't take it seriously? But the thing is, knowing them, taking it upon your heart, feeling them, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts, in our lives, that will make us do something, take a big step, take a, the first step we have to take. And it's yes, of course, it's going to take courage. But inshallah wa ta'ala, by listening the words of Quran, inshallah wa ta'ala, we will seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help to for that courage, inshallah wa ta'ala. Right? So, Biznillah, we want to conclude now this session, inshallah wa ta'ala. We'll see you all tomorrow. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا إن نسينا وأخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين ربي إني لما أنزلت إلي من خير فقير ربي إني لما أنزلت إلي من خير فقير ربي إني لما أنزلت إلي من خير فقير. Take good care of yourselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep you all safe, protected, and His afiyat. May we are saved from any and every evil and shar there is. May we are granted the highest levels of iman and taqwa. May we are granted maghfirah. May it is made possible to enter Ramadan, the month of maghfirah, rahmah, and rahmah, inshallah wa ta'ala. It might be the first fast tomorrow. May you all have a blissful Ramadan, Ramadan Kareem to everyone from the entire team of Journey Through Quran on behalf of Nurul Quran International Institute. Jazakumullah khairan kaseera for such active and nice participants. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase all of you in your iman and taqwa. Amin summa amin. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I would attack you. I mean, you have a lot of